It was decided that we would travel by sea to Italy. They handed over Paul and some other prisoners to an officer with the rank of captain of 100, whose name was Julius and who belonged to the Caesar battalion. We boarded a ship from Adramidium that was headed for some ports along the coast of the province of Asia, and we sailed off. With us was Aristarchus, who was from Thessalonica in northern Greece. The next day we arrived at Sidon. Julius treated Paul with kindness and allowed him to visit his friends in Sidon to get from them what he needed. From there we sailed again. Since the wind was against us, we sailed close to the coast of Cyprus, then to the sea in front of Cilicia and Pamphylia, and then we arrived at the port of Myra in the province of Lycia. There the officer found a ship from Alexandria that was headed for Italy, and he had us board it. We traveled slowly for several days, and with effort we neared the coast of Cnidus. But the wind prevented us from anchoring there, so we traveled near the coast of the island of Crete, in front of Samony. And with difficulty we reached a place called Fair Havens, near the town of Lacia. Because of all this, we had lost a lot of time, and sea travel had become dangerous, since it was after the fast. Paul warned them, saying, "Men, I see that our journey will lead to great danger and loss, not only for the ship and its cargo, but for our lives as well." But the officer was inclined to agree with what was said by the ship's captain and its owner, and he did not give Paul's advice any weight. The harbor was not fit for spending the winter there, so the majority decided that we should complete the journey in the hope that we could reach the port of Phoenix in Crete and spend the winter there. This port overlooks the southwest and the northwest. A light wind began blowing from the south, so the sailors thought they had gotten what they wanted. So they raised the anchor and sailed close to the coastland of Crete. But after a while, a windstorm called a northeaster blew in from the island. The ship was pushed away and could not oppose the wind. So we gave in, and the wind drove us along aimlessly. We passed near a small island named Cauda, and with difficulty we were able to secure the lifeboat. They lifted it up to the ship. Then they tied ropes around the ship to make it secure. They were afraid we would crash into the sandbank in the Gulf of Cirta, so they lowered the sail and let the ship be driven along in this way. The storm was so violent against us that on the following day the sailors began throwing the ship's cargo into the sea. On the third day they threw the ship's gear overboard with their own hands. Many days passed in which neither the sun nor the stars appeared. The storm continued to blow with such violence that in the end we gave up all hope of rescue. The travelers had abstained from eating food for a long time. So Paul stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have complied with my advice and not left Crete. Then you would have been safe from this danger and loss. But now I ask you to rest assured, for none of you will be lost, the ship alone will be wrecked. For last night an angel came to me from Allah, to whom I belong and whom I worship, and he said to me, 'Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand before Caesar. And Allah has granted you the lives of all the travelers with you. So rest assured, men. For I have faith in Allah, that what he said will come true. But for sure the wind will thrust us onto one of the islands.'" On the 14th night, while the wind was still driving us along in the Adriatic Sea, the sailors suspected in the middle of the night that they were approaching land. They measured the depth of the water and found it to be 40 meters. After a short while, they measured again and found it to be 30 meters. They were afraid we would crash against the rocks, so they threw out four anchors from the stern of the ship, wishing that morning would come. The sailors wanted to flee from the ship, so they lowered the lifeboat to the sea on the pretense that they wanted to lower some of the anchors from the bow. But Paul said to the officer and the soldiers, "If these men don't stay in the ship, it won't be possible for you to survive." So the soldiers cut the ropes to the lifeboat and let it fall into the water. Before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat, saying to them, "This is the 14th day you've been worried, with no appetite, and you haven't eaten a thing. I wish you would eat some food, You'll need this for your survival. And not one of you will lose a hair from his head." Having said that, he took some bread, gave thanks to Allah before them all, broke it, and began to eat. Then all of them felt reassured and ate some food. The number of us on the ship was 276. After eating their fill, they threw the wheat into the sea to lighten the ship. When daylight came, the sailors weren't able to recognize the land, but they saw a bay that had a beach, so they decided to drive the ship to it if possible. So they cut the anchors loose and left them in the sea. At the same time, they released the ropes which had tied the rudder, raised the foresail to the wind, and headed towards the shore. The ship was driven to a sandbar and crashed into it. The bow got stuck and wouldn't move, and the stern started to break apart from the violence of the waves. The soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners so that they wouldn't swim to the shore and escape. But the officer wanted to save Paul, so he stopped them from carrying out their intention. Then he ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and set off for the shore, and the rest to follow them on planks from the ship or on its debris. In this way, everyone reached land safely.